Well, nice of it to start. Oh, can you hear that? All this scratching is making me itch. Oh, that's such a cliche. Sorry about that. Anyway, a bit of intro music. We don't need too much of it because you had a bit of extended scratching going on. I want to say welcome to anyone out there listening. There may be somebody. And, of course, it's the Fizzy call. The call from Fizzy, and we're talking. Yeah, not too bad, mate. Especially after watching Arsenal manage to get a 1-0 win. 1-0 is obviously our favourite scoreline. 1-0 win at Old Trafford. I mean, that's all we're going to probably talk about today. Yeah, it doesn't happen often. How many years? 16 years, was it, from since the last one?
2006.
Wow. Adebayor. Oh, Adebayor got the goal. Huh. We were talking about him last time.
Right near the end as well.
Yeah.
Right near the end, if I remember rightly.
Wow. So what was your take on the game?
I'm obviously very, very pleased about the result. I think, to be honest, it was completely deserved. We absolutely bossed them. And, you know, you can kind of look at it. Certainly the first half, we absolutely dominated them. Like, it's incredible. Some of the statistics I saw, was that United had 8% of their touches in the attacking third. So 92% of the touches of the ball that they had was outside of their attacking third, which is the lowest they've ever had since Solskjaer took over. Wow. And I think that is testament to the sort of the off-the-ball strategies that Arsenal put in place. I think they were just much, much more organised. And you could see it was a difference of two teams. Yeah, Arsenal had a plan and they, you know, implemented that plan incredibly well. And I think United didn't have much of a plan. And what if they did, it wasn't particularly implemented very well. You know, you could see, like, with the press, both teams tried the press. But Arsenal were much more organised with the press, like, off the ball. Mm. So much so that if United got past that first line almost, there was always someone there in the second line of defence almost to sort of try and win the ball back. Whereas United, the gaps between the first and second line of the press was laughable. You know, there's so many gaps that Arsenal easily played their way around it. And of course, that has to sort of go down to Arteta. And there's a few performances that I think, you know, certainly need some sort of mention.
Yeah.
I think the easy one to start with, the man of the match was Partey. You know, what a player.
Really?
Absolutely,
yeah.
What a player. You know, you pay for what you get. And that's always been the case. You pay for what you get. But he, you know, 11 ball recoveries in that game. He was everywhere. He absolutely bossed Pogba. Yeah, he marked him out of the game. Four tackles, four clearances. He was an absolute man mountain. And he completely deserved man of that. I think Elneny as well.
Yeah.
Elneny maybe not get as much credit, but I think he deserves a lot of credit. You know, because of Partey, Elneny was able to sort of drive the ball forward. He passed forward a lot more than he normally does. You know, we always think of Elneny as a sort of bit of a sideways passer, a bit of a crab. But certainly, you know, he passed the ball forward a lot more. He broke the lines a lot more. You know, he ran with the ball a lot more, and he was able to sort of implement that press a lot more. And I think, you know, he was certainly one of the players that absolutely, you know, made sure Fernandes didn't have a look in. You know, and
yeah, it really caught the eye.
So the midfield two were absolutely solid.
Mm.
And then you look at, say, Gabriel. Gabriel had like five successful tackles, the highest in the game. Absolute colossus. You know, what a signing we've got there. 22, 23 years old. Absolute colossus. And, you know, alongside him, you have to say Holding as well.
Yeah.
Holding played really, really well. And what I liked about both of those defenders, and Tierney to a certain extent as well, was that they were quite aggressive with the strikers. They didn't let Rashford or Greenwood turn. You know, they played quite a high line, and, you know, you could have been worried about, you know, Rashford or someone like that getting in them. But Arteta had a plan that, you know, it was only once in that first half that they got behind the defenders when Greenwood had that shot.
From an angle.
That was the only time. That was their only shot on goal. Up until, I think, Arsenal scored. And so, you know, Holding and Gabriel especially, didn't give the strikers any opportunity. And I think, you know, the tactics really worked. You know, United played in some sort of diamond formation. And what I liked was, you know, Arteta thought of everything. You know, you had Lacazette dropping off to pick up that sort of base of the diamond. So normally it would be Fred, or it would be, not probably the other midfielder, but you'd, I'm trying to think who it is, the names lost me there. But normally it'd be Fred, or one of the other midfielders would drop off to pick the ball. But Fred was dropping off so deep that he was picking up near the centre halves.
Yeah.
You know, and Lacazette, what they did, what I really liked was Lacazette dropped in, so he was on that base of the diamond, and it allowed Willian and Aubameyang to sort of press the centre half. So it allowed them to press, I can't remember their names, it allowed them to press the two centre halves. And that allowed like our wing backs, Saka and Bellerin, to really sort of push on the full backs as well. So it was, you know, off the ball. It was really, really impressive. And it was kind of, you know, Arsenal have been starting to look like this more and more defensively. You know, we are solid. You know, we've got the best defensive record in the league so far.
Yeah, that's not
quite. We are harder to beat.
Yeah, really.
I did get the feeling, I won't lie, I did get the feeling that it was going to be another Leicester, because we had, you know, we created three chances in that first half. If you think back, the Lacazette swing and a miss, the Willian. Mm. Which wasn't a swing and a miss. It was obviously Lindelof.
He got just a touch.
Got a touch on the ball to defend it. You had the Saka header, and then you had the Willian where he looped it and it hit the bar. And every single one of them came from over the right, and it came from Bellerin.
Yeah.
And I think Bellerin deserves a massive sort of credit, really, because what Arsenal did very well, especially on the right-hand side, was because United were so narrow, because they had this diamond formation, that Bellerin especially took advantage of that by doubling up with Willian. And so Luke Shaw never knew what to do. You know, you could either have Bellerin go on the outside, and Willian cuts in a little bit, and you're two versus one in that way.
Yeah.
Or sometimes I saw this, Bellerin actually came in, and certainly for the penalty, Bellerin came in, you know, went beyond Pogba and allowing Willian that width. But it worked, yeah. Either way, Luke Shaw, yeah, had an absolute nightmare, you know, in terms of having to deal with that 2-on-1 that was consistent. So, you know, the tactics from Arteta, I felt really, really worked. You know, everything worked. The players there were resilient. You kind of felt they had something to prove. You know, I went into the game not being particularly hopeful, because, you know, this isn't a United side that, well, granted, they're not the best United side that we've seen in a few years. But this is a side that's on a bit of form. You know, they smashed Leipzig 5-0. You know, they beat Newcastle the week before. So, you know, this is a United side that had a bit of form going into it. And I wasn't particularly, you know, optimistic about the game. I have to admit, I wasn't optimistic about the game. But, you know, credit where credit due.
Yeah, definitely.
We were fantastic. So, you know, yeah, it's very pleasing. It's very good to finally get that monkey off our back of, you know, not winning against the top team six away from home. You know, it's been, 30 games or something ridiculous like that.
But the thing is, what annoys me about the press is they, when I say the press, I mean the media, but the media just keep on saying, oh, Arsenal can't beat top six teams. But Arsenal did beat the top six teams to get to Wembley for the FA Cup final, and then beat a top six team in the final.
It's that away from home thing, isn't it?
Yeah,
that's what it is. It's that away from home thing in the league. Yeah, and you know, if you think back even to last year, we were 1-1 against Spurs, and Aubameyang missed a penalty in the last minute.
Yeah,
and that would have been done and gone. You know, and so, but it is. It's like, what the frustrating thing, certainly for me, was, you know, United have been pretty dog.
Really?
For the last few years.
Yeah.
I don't think Spurs have been much better than us for the last few years. Certainly, they've probably overtaken us in the last couple of years as we declined. They have, you know, been a little bit better. But, you know, we've certainly had opportunities to beat, and we haven't taken them. We haven't turned up, you know, in the last few Wenger years, Emery. And, you know, even Arteta, although you could argue that against Liverpool and City we were a bit close, we weren't losing 5-0 like we did under, you know, the last few years with Wenger. You know, it's kind of felt that we were nearly there. So, but to finally get that monkey off our back, I think it's going to be a big thing. And now, you know, we play Spurs at the beginning of the next month. and we can go there. We don't have that extra pressure on our shoulders. And we hope, you know, why can't we get a result? And so I think, yeah, that was a big game for Arteta, because losing three on the bounce against big teams, you know, arguably against City, it could have gone a different way if we'd taken our chances. Leicester as well, you know, we didn't take our chances. And it was frustrating to see unexpected and then get sort of punished at the end by Leicester. But, you know, United, I did have that fear, you know, we haven't taken our chances again. You know, we're gonna suffer the same thing. But, you know, we carried on through. And I think, you know, the last 10 minutes after we scored, you know, it did certainly wake United up. But, you know, they didn't deserve it. You know, by no way did they deserve to get anything from that game, because they were absolutely awful for such a long period of time. Yeah, you know, they were all, you know, we bossed it for the first 75 minutes, and we should have scored more if anything else, really.
Yeah, there was a little sticky period at the start of the second half, I felt, and unfortunately, when I was watching it, I was surrounded by Man U fans, but they were shaking my hand at the end. They said, "Your team deserved to win that." So that was nice of it. Yeah, or at least, I mean, the best they could have got is a draw.
Most United fans you would speak to wouldn't say anything other than that.
Yeah, they
I was sat with a United fan, and he is your typical mank, like, gobby. You know, he's given me loads. I've only known him 3 weeks, and he's been giving me loads of stick about how we're not in the Champions League, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, and he was completely humbled. He was completely humbled. Like, he knew. And I think, It's always one of those things. It's like, did United play badly or did Arsenal play well? And I think it's a combination. I think Arsenal prevented Man United from playing well. I think it's as simple as that.
We did a job on them.
United from playing well. Our off the ball tactics, we didn't allow the midfield to dominate. We dominated that midfield.
For sure, yeah. I mean, the only time, as I said, it was predictable as well. I thought start of second half, Man U were going to throw everything at Arsenal, but they didn't have a lot to throw at Arsenal, luckily. I thought they dominated for 10 minutes at the start of the second half, and that was about it. And at the end,
I know what you mean.
But I never really felt that worried.
They tweaked the formation, and I think this is testament to Arteta, really. They tweaked the formation at the beginning of the second half.
Yeah.
And what they did was Pogba pushed forward a little more, so it kind of upset the balance. But what Arteta changed it, and I think after that first 15 minutes, Arsenal tweaked it again.
Yeah.
And it gave us back that sort of momentum, and it gave us back that sort of control of the game. Yeah, no, the Man United made a change, and I think Arteta sort of worked it out after about 10 minutes, what United had done, how to sort of combat it. And I think that the players as well need to take some credit, because they obviously have been schooled on, you know, what they want to happen, what United might do. And I think, you know, they made an in-game change.
Mm.
You know, United made a change at half-time, and Arsenal reacted to it. And in that second 15 minutes, if you will, of the second half, they were more dominant again. You know, and you know, we allowed United, certainly before the goal, I think one shot on goal. You know, or one shot on target, you know.
Was that deflected shot as well hit the post, right?
You ride your luck. When you're playing big six teams away from home, you have to have an element of fortune.
Yeah.
And I think that was us. I think that was us. That could have gone anywhere. You know, it hit
outside of the post.
And then Leno on the head. And then the post.
Something like that.
You have to allow Pinball, for an element of fortune when you play. Because, and even as bad as United were, you know, you have to allow for some sort of good luck. But I think Arsenal deserved it. Like, we, Partey, the midfield, and, you know, what's exciting for me, and this is what we haven't had for so long, and certainly I've been crying out for it for a few years, is now we've got a core, we've got a spine of a team.
Mm.
You know, with Gabriel, Leno, Partey, and hopefully Uber or Lacquer up top. That's a good spine. That's a strong spine. We weren't bullied. We were not bullied. We bullied them. You know, we didn't let them have any sort of space. We didn't let them any sort of creativity. We put the tackles in. You know, Partey was everywhere. Elneny was everywhere. we bossed that midfield. And I think, you know, certainly when we played the Liverpools and the Man Cities, we haven't been sort of overrun too much. You know, it's been a bit more sort of even, Stephen. And we, you know, we discussed the Liverpool game. That, you know, Liverpool are a better team than, you know, anyone else in the league. But we weren't sort of completely outclassed by that. Yeah, there's still a way to go. You know, I don't think we're championship contenders, nowhere near championship contenders, but we're on the right track. And I think Arteta needed that win. You know, Arteta needed that win after the week that he's had. You know, you've got a lot of, you know, Arsenal fans are quite a funny bunch. You've got a lot of people that are going, you know, get rid of Arteta, he doesn't know what he's doing. And it's like they forget the last few years of Wenger, they forget the year and a half of Emery. Arteta took over a bit of a shitstorm.
Yeah.
And now he's done miracles. He's made that Arsenal team very difficult to beat. And that is something you couldn't say about Arsenal
for a long time.
Post-invincible, really. You know, could you say, with all the Wenger sort of, you know, when he had Project Youth, and then, you know, with the Van Persie, Nasri team, there was always that sort of...
It was an underbelly, a weak, soft underbelly.
Soft underbelly.
Yeah.
You know, when Vieira left, Gilberto left, you know, those big, horrible players, and Campbell left, players like that, we lost that sort of spine. You know, we went out and bullied teams. You know, we bullied teams before we even went on the pitch. When they saw Vieira and they saw Campbell and they saw Adams, they were like, nah, not today. And obviously, we're not there yet, but we did bully United on Sunday. And it was very pleasing to see. And so, yeah, I think the attacking side of things will take a bit of time because you want a solid foundation to build on. But certainly, yeah, no, my expectations for the season are quite low. I'd be chuffed with top four.
Top four.
I really would. I'd be chuffed with top four. We do lack a bit of creativity with the whole, you know, we're not going to talk about Ozil this week because we've talked about him for low.
It's always tempting, though.
He makes you angry. He makes me angry.
Yeah.
But we do need a creator. I think in certain games, we do need a creator. And I think against Leicester, we didn't have that person between the lines to sort of be that creator. And I think what we did a little bit against United was like your Bellerings or your Sakas to allow Aubameyang and William that width. They would come in and they would also almost play like inside right sort of.
Yeah, that's right.
You know what I mean? Like in between the lines of the middle.
Yeah, and to me, they're creative enough.
William's
pretty creative as well, you know. I mean, he's, you know, maybe not as creative as the unmentionable one, but, you know, he's not far off. And he's, I just remember when he played for Chelsea, and every time he came on, I thought, oh no, Chelsea are definitely going to be making chances now. That was what I thought as a, you know, when he came on as an opponent. I know he's a bit older, but he had a good performance.
Yeah, I think he's a different player, isn't he? Like, Ozil, the unmentionable one, he is definitely a 10, isn't he? I think William, he can play either wing.
Yeah, he's versatile.
He played a 10 for Shakhtar Donetsk, didn't he?
Yeah, and I believe so. And, I mean, he was playing, like you said, like an inside forward. I mean, in the old days, I mean, a 10 was an inside forward originally, back in the, you know, ancient days.
Of course it was. Yeah, so, of course it was.
You know, left inside forward, and the 8 was the right inside forward. That was the what they call it, WM formation, wasn't it? So these players would create, your 8 would create, your 10 would create, and your 7 and your 11, they would be, not 7-11, but you know what I mean, they'd be throwing crosses in from the wing, so they'd be putting most of the high balls in, and, you know, what do they call it, the corridor of uncertainty. I don't know if they called it that in those days, but they'd be putting balls in too. I remember, do you remember that cross that Bellerin put in, and then Auba slid in, but he slid in with his right foot instead of his left foot, and then he couldn't catch it. I don't think he would have caught it anyway because it came across at pace, and I was thinking, And then I looked at Auba's, I'm not criticising Auba because I think he's just beyond criticism, but when I looked at his stats, how many goals he's got for Arsenal, he's obviously scored quite a lot, but more than quite a lot are with his right foot. I didn't realise it's it's well over 50%. It's more like, I didn't do a percentage count, but I think, I would guess it's about 80% of his goals are with his right foot, if not more. And then a few with his left.
You would expect that, though, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I didn't realise. He never seems that one-footed to me. It's only, that's the first time in all the time he's been at Arsenal, who maybe it says something about me rather than him, that I haven't been observant enough, but I never really picked up that he's so good that I'm sort of blind to any, you know, that he might be very, very right-footed. But he has scored a few with his left when I saw the stats. He scored a few, but it's not as many as I thought. Because to me, he's not obviously right-footed. It was just the way he slid in. I went, if he were really two-footed, he would have slid in with his left foot extended.
Well, it's that instinctive, isn't it? You go on your stronger foot, I suppose.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
When it's coming at you in such pace, you know, it was.
He wouldn't have made it anyway. I mean, it's sort of all academic, really. But when he did that, I went, oh, no, wrong foot. And then I went, I can't believe it. I never criticise Albert, never. And then when he had that penalty,
he needed that goal, didn't he? You can tell he needed that goal. And I have to remember, that penalty was there. Yeah. I had flashbacks of him missing against Spurs.
Yeah, I was having flashbacks too.
That went through my mind. Because I'm still bitter about that. Because, the goal that we conceded was Mustafi doing a Mustafi. And was that Emery's first season, wasn't it?
I believe so, not sure. Yeah.
Because they were fans. It was pre-lockdown.
Yeah, well, definitely pre-lockdown. Yeah, I remember him missing a pen. So, I mean, it's the only one I ever remember him missing. He may have missed more than one, but I don't remember. So, maybe it's only the one.
Yeah, I can't remember him missing many.
I mean, I thought he looked really confident when he stepped up. So I didn't say anything, but I was thinking he'll probably score this because he certainly looks like he's confident. He's in, you know, and he scored the other day. And this is the other thing: the media were winding me up saying he's. Every time people said, he's barely scored. I said, well, he hasn't scored a lot this season. It's true. But he did score against Rapid Vienna. Oh, they're Mickey Mouse. But they're not actually that bad a team, Rapid Vienna. So, I mean...
Yeah, you can't pick and choose. Like, if he hasn't scored in 8 games, fine. But if he has scored, it's a different competition. Well, then, you can make the statistics however you want, can't you?
Yeah, you screw them, don't you? Called into.
I think part of his criticism was it was coming from I think Arsenal against City, Arteta tried something with the Willian as the false nine.
Yeah.
It didn't work. And so I think, consequently, if something doesn't work, then, the whole attacking system's not going to work. Mm. So Aubameyang's not going to have a good game on his own, you saw him on Sunday, he paired up quite well with Lacazette for a couple of times.
Yeah. And the other thing is, he's basically playing as a left winger, near enough.
Yeah.
He's so far out on the left that it's amazing that he scores as many goals as he does. And I just think, he missed a chance, didn't he, quite early on. I can't really remember it off the top of my head suddenly.
He missed that 1 minute slid across. And then in the second half, Arsenal, won the ball back. I think it was Lacazette actually won the ball back. He was dropping off. He was going on that central defensive midfielder, who was normally sort of Fred, and he won the ball back. He stole the ball back off him, and then we counter attacked. And Lacazette read selflessly. It was the right ball. Yeah. Gave it to Aubameyang, and you would expect him to curl it round. And he did curl it, but he just got his ankles a little bit wrong. Certainly. Aside from that 50 minutes at the beginning of the second half, where Arsenal didn't adapt. Had to adapt to the sort of tactical change that United put in place. It was so pleasing to see us go away from home against a big six side and put in a good performance and get the result. So, it's very encouraging.
I felt, obviously, because I think when we spoke last time, I said to you I was quite optimistic about this game, mainly because of coming on the back of disappointment. I thought Arsenal raise their game.
Yes.
But then I started having second thoughts. I can't remember why I was having second thoughts. I thought it's probably going to be a draw. I think I was getting all superstitious. It was that for that reason. It wasn't, I mean, logic told me Arsenal have got a good chance of winning at Old Trafford. It was just logic, really. I just thought, if I'd made a guess early on, that's what I would have said. And I think it was maybe David Luiz wasn't playing, but I didn't know Holding was going to play. So had I known Holding was going to play, I'd be optimistic again. But I didn't know that.
Because this guy,
he's a winner. I just think Holding is a winner. And I'm not saying he's the most technically brilliant centre-back in the world. I'm not trying to say that. But whenever he plays, you feel that Arsenal are not going to concede or they're going to win. And a worst case scenario, but, yeah,
he's
going to win.
He's still got a future, hasn't he?
Yeah.
He's still got a future at that club. You know, it's interesting. We talk about young players. He's not an old player. He's, what, 24 or perhaps? I'm not sure.
At most.
He's certainly... At most, yeah. So he's still got a long... Yeah. And, you know, we wax lyrical about Arteta and his ability to develop players and improve certain players. There's no reason why he can't, you know, if he can do that with Holding, fantastic. Yeah. If Holding and Gabriel can build up a decent partnership, yeah, fantastic. Yeah, that's certainly for the short term, that's kind of what we can hope to see. And I think Luis, you know, we certainly miss Luis's creativity. Well, I don't think we did miss it because I think Arteta made a plan around it. But that is something that Luis brings, that ability to ping balls, and he gives us that option. And I think the majority of the time, he is pretty reliable. You know, he's a winner. And I think he's good to have around the squad. So, you know, it's Mustafi, not too sure about. But, you know, going back to what we said about expectations for this season, I think top four is a realistic expectation.
And what about the midfield? Because going back to the midfield, because obviously I was really impressed, but what would you do if you were Arteta? And obviously, Xhaka has played a lot of games for Arteta. I mean, what would be your best midfield? Or would it depend on who the opposition is?
I think it depends on the opposition. What Xhaka has is, Xhaka has a different, obviously, skill set to Elneny. I think Xhaka is possibly, arguably, a bit more, he's a better passer of the ball. You know, he doesn't like to press. He doesn't have that sort of engine that Elneny has. But he does have probably a bit more of a... he's got a wicked left foot on him. Mm. And, you know, he plays a certain way. And I think he can do things that Elneny can't, and vice versa.
Yeah.
And the same with Ceballos. I'd argue that Ceballos is probably more creative. And he's able to get through the lines a bit better than Xhaka does. Elneny, arguably got through... broke the lines a fair few times on Sunday, but I think that's something that he's developed under Arteta. So of course, I think it does depend on the opposition. Really, I think Ferguson always used to do this. Yeah, he would play. You'd have these midfielders, but every so often he would put Fletcher in or you put Park in, and they weren't the best players in that midfield, but they would do a job, and they had to quote Liam Neeson, a special set of skills. And I think I think that's what Arteta did on Sunday. Yeah, he dropped Ceballos and Xhaka and put in Elneny. Now, nobody expected him to do that. Nobody expected him to do that. And I think he knew, he knows his players better than anyone. And that, so I think it's a good thing to keep, because Xhaka has improved, he has really improved. He has really pushed on. And so I think it is important. You want to keep him in the squad. We've got him for two more years because he signed that 5-year deal, didn't he? And I think he's a good squad player. So I'm happy with him. Ceballos, I would like to keep. Depends whether he will stay another year. But we definitely need a 10. But we've got your Willock, and Willock's a good little player, and he played well against that Irish team, Dundalk or whatever they were called.
Mm.
And he's got to be knocking on the door. So, in terms of midfield, I'm reasonably sort of satisfied with where things are. I think, obviously, a lot of it revolves around Partey. But you could say that for any team. They've got one amazing midfielder. United obviously have three, but they can't play them all.
I was looking at that performance from the midfield. It's the best midfield performance that I've seen in, I can't remember how long.
Very long time.
I'd be very tempted, and I know I don't like to be one of those people that doesn't adapt to the opposition, but I'd be very tempted to stick with Elneny and Partey until they start messing up,
I think it keeps them fresh as well.
There is that. There has to be. I'm not saying I'd play them in Europa League games, but if they're going to play like that in the Premier League together, Some people are just on the same wavelength. I mean, I was putting it down to things like that rather than, I'm not... Okay, I'd probably prefer Elneny to to Xhaka, even though Elneny's played nowhere near as many games as Xhaka. And Xhaka has improved a lot. And he's an okay player to me at the moment. But Elneny, if he's going to play like that, he has to play. He has to play. Because I don't know, I've just got this thing. I like midfielders who run. I just cannot understand how a midfielder can get away without running very much. I just don't get that. I just don't understand it. You know, and that's what Xhaka does. I mean, it doesn't matter how good you are positionally. If you don't run, your team are going to suffer. That's how I see it, especially in that position.
Exactly. You can think of those quarterback midfielders, and I'm not for a second putting Xhaka in this bracket, but if you think of someone like Pirlo.
Yeah,
Do you know what I mean? Like, there are different sort of midfield players. You know, if you think of that AC Milan midfield, you had Gattuso, who was the animal.
Yeah, that's
true. You had Zadorf, who was the engine room, all over the shop, pick up with goals. And you had Pirlo, who would sit and pick balls. And I'd love to have that sort of quality, the players in my team. But I think, they offer different things. And so,
I think the issue is, when you mentioned Pirlo, I mean, I saw him mostly playing for Italy, but when I watched him play, and obviously, we don't probably analyse quite as deeply when they're not playing for Arsenal. But anyway, I still looked at him and thought, this guy, I never ever thought his work rate is low. And I never thought he doesn't get around the pitch much. I'm not saying he was going for every tackle, because no, clearly he wasn't doing that. But you've got Xhaka, who's a defensive midfielder, who doesn't really run very much. And I have an issue with that. And Elneny, he's quite versatile, so he does a bit. He's not amazing in attack, but then neither is Xhaka. And he's not an amazing defender, but he runs a hell of a lot.
It depends on the opposition as well, like if you're playing at home or away. And I think, Arteta will have plans for all of them.
Yeah, because, of course, like you said, he's got to keep them all happy, and that's going to be tricky.
Keep them all happy. Well, that's the thing,
it's going to be very difficult.
You want to be part of a winning team.
Yeah,
you want to. Yeah, they want to be at Arsenal. I think that much is clear. They want to be at Arsenal, but of course they want to play. And so, Arteta's got it's a balancing act, isn't it? But it's a nice balancing act.
Yeah, yeah. And Xhaka's doing well. I don't want to knock him too much, because when he has played, he's played. I can't think of a bad game he's had this season. And as you know, I'm not his greatest fan, but I'm not.
Sure.
You know, it just depends who I compare him to. You know, if I compare him to midfielders of yesteryear like Danilson, Xhaka's million times better than Danielson in my book.
Yeah.
So there's no contest there. So when I'm criticising Xhaka, some Arsenal fans have said, you don't understand Xhaka, you should leave him alone. And I just said, look, it's just, obviously there was that incident. Let's just put that to one side. But it's not because of that I was having to go about him sometimes. It was just because I thought he had a certain amount of talent, but I just thought his attitude's improved enormously, so he's much better in that respect. His work rate has also improved quite a lot, but I just don't think he's got the lungs. It's not like he's not trying. He's trying his hardest, I think. But when you see Elneny...
It's a skill set, isn't it? Yeah. I think he's not an eight, is he? Like, he's not a box-to-box.
No, not at all. He's kind of like a four, an old-fashioned four.
Yeah, I think his ability is to pick out balls and try and break the lines with passing, but he's certainly not going to be busting the guts to get in the box. That's just not. And when he does, I don't think he has the positional sense to do it particularly that well either. So I think that's also a factor that needs to be included. He just doesn't have that. That's not his strength. I think his strength is picking up the ball. Making the odd interception, making the odd tackle, hopefully not rash tackles.
Yeah, and that's what he used to do.
Recycling the ball. Recycling the ball, finding the player. And he has got good vision. He has got a good passing sort of range.
And what so I like about him.
At certain teams, Xhaka doesn't handle the press pretty well. Mm. So if teams are going to sit off, Xhaka's someone that you could have to ping balls and to break lines. So it's kind of, it depends on the opposition. And like we said, we want to keep the players happy. So you want to make them feel at least that there's a chance that they could play. It's a long old season.
Yeah, of course it is.
Let's say our Invincible season. That Invincible season, we had Parler, Gilberto, Vieira, Edu. You know, and there were times when Edu played with Vieira. There were times when Gilberto played with Vieira. You know, if Vieira was suspended for whatever misdemeanor that he got up to, you know, part of might play in the middle. So, you know, I know Green often he played more on the right, but certainly he did play, you know, in that centre mid as well. So, you know, it's important to have a squad. You don't win a league with 11 players.
Yeah, you're right. So when you look at the Invincibles and Edu, and, you know, Edu's not so, he's not so different, is he, to Xhaka? I wouldn't say there's a huge difference.
Foot, certainly. But again, I think Edu had a bit more of an engine room about him.
Yeah.
But yeah, I know what you mean.
He weren't exactly box to box. And so I remember when Edu made his debut, do you remember, wasn't it Middlesbrough at home and it ended up 3-0 and I think Edu scored two own goals. And that wasn't the most auspicious of starts. And then I seem to remember that. And then Edu, he never really, for me, he was never a favourite of mine as a player. I mean, I thought he was okay, not bad, but I was never overjoyed to see his name on the team sheet. But at the same time, I thought he wouldn't let the team down. And that's probably what I feel about Xhaka now. I think I'm not overjoyed when his name's there. I'm not upset either. I just think I'm expecting him to be. I was expecting him to play against Man U, to be honest. And then when he wasn't on the team list, I didn't have much time to sort of think about it because I sort of rolled in, looked at the team just a few seconds before it started. Really, I went, and then he's playing instead of Xhaka. That's unexpected. But I thought it might not be a bad thing. That was my first reaction. I don't know what you were thinking, but I was thinking it might not be a bad thing. I wasn't sure about it. But you know, Xhaka recently, I like the fact that he's bounced back from all the criticism he's had. So I don't want to sort of turn it into like what I've done in the past slamming him.
Yeah, credit where credit's due. He had a lot of people against him, didn't he?
Yeah, that's true.
And so, you know, it's important that we recognise that. Like, he has come on, and it must have been hard for him.
Yeah, it must have been so hard. Mm. And he definitely felt he wanted to
carry on doing what he needed to do.
Yeah, and that takes a certain amount of mental strength to do that. And now he comes out of it a better player, better person, you know, and struck with a stronger mentality. That's what I think. As a result of all of those kind of hardships, okay, yes, we can argue he made them for himself, but he still had to get through that situation. And I think he's done that admirably well. So I have to give him credit as well. Who else, you've mentioned Bellerin. Tierney, what did you make of his game? I can't sort of comment very much on Tierney. He was okay. Didn't do anything wrong.
No problem for me. He solid defensively.
Yeah.
Absolutely solid defensively. Again, you know, like you can't really fault the lad, to be fair, can you?
No. He's done amazingly well.
He did everything that he needed. Overall. I think he was less sort of noticeable, but I think, you know, again, he was solid. Again, he played very well as part of that sort of defensive line that we had. And, you know, you can't, he didn't put a foot wrong, really, did he?
I can't.
Yeah, he was down, his engine room is incredible.
He's
the left centre half on the byline putting a ball in. You know, that is, it's something else. It really is. So, you know, that was very pleasing to see. So, but we've kind of got almost used to that sort of standard from him.
He's been reliable, you know, with his deliveries. Yeah. But, I mean, I mean, this is a very, very mild criticism.
It's a surprising day when he plays badly.
Yeah, and he certainly didn't play badly. But obviously, I think when you look at Bellerin's contribution to that game, the thing is, Arsenal got two really, really good, for want of a better word, wing backs. Even though that's not really where he played, he was playing like you said, he's like centre back and wing back.
Yeah. They're quite lopsided, aren't they?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think Bellerin will go down the wing a bit more. Xhaka will cut in and allow Tierney to go around the outside, because you know that Aubameyang is always going to want to cut in as well. So they don't play. Yeah. You know, what happens is you get two centre halves almost holding in Gabriel, and then Tierney's almost a left back.
Yeah. And it does often
so
look
we
that
did play quite lopsided.
Yeah.
If you're trying to defend against it, it's not symmetrical, is it? Because I think, that was something I saw Arteta do last year with Tierney. You know, he knew, if you think back to, say, Man City in the semi-final, Tierney put that ball over to Aubameyang. And it was happening quite frequently that Tierney would put that sort of from the touchline coming in for Aubameyang to run onto. That happened a few times, and it's certainly like a tactic that Arsenal seem to sort of enjoy doing. So, I was pleased. To a man, they all battled. They all played well. And I'm just glad we got the result, because I got shades of Leicester again. Where we didn't take our chances, Man City, where we had those two chances and didn't take them. We completely neutralised Man U. We completely, certainly for the majority of the game. So it was very pleasing. And it's, we can push forward now.
I'm always tense with an Arsenal game, especially when the scoreline's like that, very tight. But I didn't really feel that Man U were gonna nick a goal. I just didn't really, it wasn't like, but I still counted down the clock as per usual. So what about Leno? We've not really mentioned Leno very much. I mean, he looked pretty assured. He claimed everything in his area. Yeah, not a lot, but I remember he caught a cross. Didn't he catch a cross quite late on in the game, if I remember correctly? And normally we've been criticising him, saying he punches a little too often. Yeah. But I mean, it was a pretty solid performance, and probably better than that, really, from Leno. And I thought that was really good on a day when I don't mean to knock Martinez, but how many did he let in for Villa? It's four, wasn't it? That weren't his fault, though. But
no, I kind of can't be too angry for him for that. I didn't see that. After me, I didn't see the game.
Yeah, so I saw. I didn't see the goals he conceded. I saw the goals that Villa scored, and it looked like. I've got to say, watching that game didn't make me feel very good, though, because I thought both of these teams don't look too bad. Southampton obviously pushing up there. Villa look. They were getting slaughtered when I started watching the game. They were losing 4-1, and then the guy that I'm not a huge fan of, Jack Grealish, he scored I wouldn't say it was a wonder goal. It was from quite a long way out, went inside post, and I just thought, well, I wouldn't have wanted him to sign for Arsenal, but that's the best I've ever seen him play. It wasn't breathtaking, but it was. Yeah, Southampton struggled to do it.
He does offer something, Grealish, doesn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
In terms of creativity.
Yeah, he does.
Let's say we don't sign that, or whatever his name is. We have to have at least more than one option. I think he brings some things to the table.
So would you sign him? Would you sign him?
I think...
Depends on the price.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
But, he's English. He's used to the league.
Yeah, that's
he won't have that sort of adaptation period that maybe or had would have. The price depends. Like, Villa, as a player, he must have some ambition. So, even if Villa do stay up this year, which certainly judging by the first few games, it's a possibility. Would you want to stay at that team, or would you want to sort of push on your career and try and win trophies?
Yeah, it's a hard one. I mean, I think...
So
I don't know what I would do.
He would know.
If I were him.
He would know. And obviously, even if he signs a new contract, it could be one of those deals where you sign a new contract, so we get more money for you, but we'll agree to let you go, sort of thing. Yeah, that happens.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, because actually, I remember in the past when I can't think of any specific examples, but often Arsenal say have been looking at a player, and they're making moves as if they're going to sign him. Then it doesn't happen. Then that player signs a new long-term deal, and then all the press starts saying, or the media say, oh, well, then Arsenal are definitely not going to sign him. And then shortly after, yes, the signing goes through.
So
it can work like that. But, I mean, he'd be a player. How much would you pay for him is the next question. If you bring him in.
Well, he comes with that English player premium, doesn't he? English players
and
always
attitude.
Come with... you need to stick another 20 mil on them just because they're English. In the region, I'd be happy to pay 30 to 40 for him.
Wow, that's a lot less than what they're thinking.
I could see it being higher. Like,
they want 80. They want 80 million for him. He doesn't look an 80 million player to me.
No. For me, he's not. But again, that's that English premium, isn't it?
Yeah, sure. I mean, that's the best I've seen him play. So, I wouldn't say I was overly impressed. I just thought he's quite predictable, but he does it. He's a bit like, dare I say it, it reminds me of Chris Waddle of yesteryear. You know, Chris Waddle, and he played against Arsenal a lot, and he was quite, not devastating, but he put a lot of crosses in, create a lot of chances, and I never really understood why, because I thought, he's so predictable. You know exactly what he's going to do. He's going to do this little silly step over, and no one managed to put a tackle in, because he must have some sort of ungainly, or maybe unpredictable and yet predictable all at the same time. It's like with Grealish, he's going to cut inside all the time. What's that?
Grealish would cut in onto his right.
Yeah, all the time. Every single time.
Yeah.
And then when he was playing against Southampton, they always seemed to want to show him the line. They wanted to show him inside, which is ideal for him. You know, I just thought, what kind of thinking is going on here? Is it the players? Is it the manager? I don't know what's going on, but I would be having a fit, you know, if that was going on. I'd just say, look, just show him his left foot all the time. Just don't let him cut inside. That's the only way he's dangerous. And Southampton just let him continually do it. And I just thought, I don't know. There was something about him that I liked, though, because you know, I'm only talking about him because he was a potential Arsenal signing. But I just thought, would I be happy if he joined? The answer to that is not particularly. But if he continues to develop, maybe, you know, and as you said, because of the EU situation, Arsenal will probably need more English players when we look to the future. All right, let me just ask you one more, because I guess we better close up pretty soon. What about Lacazette? What about Lacazette's performance? Because I don't think we mentioned him too much. A little bit.
Certainly. No, I talked about a little bit how I was impressed at how he followed the team instructions. He dropped off onto that sort of, so rather than sort of being the last man, you know, that sort of focal point, he dropped up almost to like a false nine position when Arsenal didn't have the ball. So that stopped, you know, that prevented, you know, United playing those balls from the centre halves or the goalie to that closest midfielder. And it allowed Aubameyang and Williams to sort of press onto the centre halves. Certainly off the ball, he didn't get many chances, did he?
No
fault of his own.
Yeah,
I don't feel. Yeah, we created chances, and yeah, he did create that one for Aubameyang in the second half. I was pleased. Like, obviously, he probably would have wanted to score, but you know, he would have been very happy with the team result as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, so, I think Adebayo.
Certainly,
not Adebayo.
Those sorts of games, if he had a chance, you would have hoped that he takes it. But you know, the fact that he did sort of he contributed, he did what he needed to do, certainly off the ball. I think, you know, fair play to him. Things like that will make Arteta very happy.
Players
are sacrificing themselves for the team and, you know, following your instructions, following your plan to the letter, then, you know, Arteta's going to be a happy man.
And that's what seems to be going on. I think having Nketiah pushing him for a place, I think, obviously helps. I've always been a fan of Laka anyway, I didn't think he had an outstanding game, obviously, because there were lots of outstanding performances. So I wouldn't have said his was, but it was still pretty solid. You know, if he was out of 10, I'd give him at least a 7.
It wasn't a game for the strikers, was it?
Not really, no.
It was a game.
It was still a presence.
It was a game that we had to be solid. And the way Arsenal play at the minute, I think it's harder for the strikers to.
Yeah, I think so too. But the thing is, it always, if I were an opposition manager and I saw, okay, right, today, we're up against this forward line. We've got Lacazette, so don't leave him alone because he could be quite dangerous. Alba, need I say more, just need two on him. Willian, who knows what he's going to do. So just track him. What would you say? Yeah. It would just be like, it would be such a nightmare. If I look at it from the opponent's point of view, I'd be going, oh my, I wouldn't know where to start, you know? You'd spend a lot of time thinking about how to deal with what Arsenal, even though Arsenal haven't scored a lot of goals this season, that's not the point. I think those goals are about to come. I mean,
I agree. They will. Arsenal, you know, you want us to be, you know, we haven't been solid defensively for a while. We haven't been difficult to beat for a while. Mm. So, you know, Arsenal fans almost spoiled at times. We had all these years of Wenger play beautiful football, even in later years, play, you know, gorgeous football. But we had that soft underbelly and we didn't win much.
Mm.
And, you know, we were crying out for a Vieira player for years. We were crying out for a strong centre-half for years. Now, possibly, with the signings that we've got, with Gabriel and Partey, we've got that. Or we certainly got the beginnings of that. And yet, now we're bemoaning the fact that we're not playing sexy football all the time. It's like, well, it takes time to build that. But certainly, Arteta's doing it the right way. He's building it from the back.
Yeah.
And, you know, you just said it there. You know, you'd be scared when you see those strikers. Most people would. You know, aside from, say, Liverpool, you know, and possibly City, that's an awesome front line.
Really? Yeah.
So, so I think, it's just going to take time for Arsenal to play creatively, you know, with that new solid system. You know, it does seem like we're a little bit adverse to risk-taking at the minute, but that's because we're trying to make ourselves as solid as possible. So, I think it will come.
Yeah.
I'm certainly confident. I've been happy with Arteta ever since he took over.
Same here.
And he's going to make mistakes. Of course he is. You know, he's a young manager, and even the most experienced of managers just make mistakes. You know, even Ferguson did make mistakes.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's going to happen while Arteta's finding himself as a manager, and you know, he's got his ideas, but this is his first job. So of course he's going to make mistakes. But you know, let's face it. Let's look think back to where we were a year ago. You know, it's a completely different Arsenal team.
Yeah,
with a fair few of the same players.
Yeah, that's right. He's not made a massive transformation in terms of playing staff, but yeah, the attitude is like chalk and cheese,
exactly.
Really.
So
yeah, we can we can enjoy our pizza now. Pizzagate, sorry, it's a little link back to Fabregas.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry about it. It's always nice to win a whole track.
Yeah, I know. I just
so
feel
infrequently.
I know. I felt I could handle the lack of sleep. For once, but yeah, so that was good. Right, I guess we'll leave it there then. But so thanks again for coming on. Right, I better try and play music now. Here we go. So until the next time, when are we going to do the next time? Let's think. Maybe a Tuesday again. Will Tuesday work for you? We're still on the air though. Well, tell me later. Yeah. All right. Okay. Yes. So let's say we'll do it Tuesday at the same time. And that's worth a drum roll.